The Vikings play here, and so does the Sports Fanatics. This is 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Hey guys, welcome back to Fanatics here on a thirsty Thursday at El Bait Shop. Looking ahead to Saturday's in-state game. Scott just got off the phone with the voice of the Pitt Panthers, Bill Hillgrove. If you're trying to listen online and can't, when you're listening on your car or anything like that. Now, we will have the podcast coming up at the end of every hour due to the lightning strike earlier this morning. Let's go now and let's talk about Iowa State's game, Ross. And Clones have a tough one at Toledo on Saturday.
Try his name. I want to hear it.
I believe it's Nick Petrovitz.
It's Nick Petrovitz from the Toledo Blade. Did we get that right?
Is that right, Nick?
First try, fellas. I'm impressed.
He was worried about it. He even was like, Ross, you're going to have to introduce the guy because I don't think I can do it.
I don't like mispronouncing names. That's a pet peeve of mine. I don't like it. But it's good.
Full name's tricky. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Nick, thanks a lot for giving us time, man. We have to start with the Toledo Blade. That's the coolest name for a newspaper we've ever heard. What does the Toledo Blade come from?
The Toledo Blade comes from – it's actually a nod to Toledo, Spain, which is obviously what the city is named after. The city in Spain was named, or was a big metalworking community, I guess, 400 years ago, and that was a nod to the original Toledo.
So when you start working there, did they make you, like, learn that
or
story?
Did you ask? Were you just curious, or did you go through, like, a little video? Because I can tell you why we call a grocery store Hy-Vee, but you don't care about that.
No, I knew. I'm actually from Toledo, so I knew.
Oh, that's cool. So is this like a dream job for you to be covering your hometown team?
I promised after high school I would never move back, but here I am.
So. That's cool. Well, it's good to have you on the program, Nick. Let's dig in and talk some football. What a weird game, Toledo and Arkansas. I've watched, I would say I probably got three quarters of that in. I watched the second through the fourth. But, man, like if you were to just look at the box score of that game, it weird you out. Describe to me what you saw in Toledo's 4-point win over the Razorbacks.
That's a good point. If you look at the box score, not the line score, it looks like a blowout one way. But it was really, the name of the game was opportunism for Toledo. Arkansas got inside the red zone five times and came away with 3 points. Toledo turned a block punt into a touchdown, and it turned an interception in the end zone into a touchdown. So there's your game. I mean, Toledo took advantage of the few chances it had, and Arkansas did not take advantage of the many chances that it had.
Nick, that football game is impressive, especially when you consider the couple of guys that Toledo played without, specifically one Kareem Hunt, one of the best running backs in the country. He's back on Saturday. What exactly does that do for this football team?
I think it adds a different type of runner. They are deep at running back, even without him. They played without their top two running backs, actually, Arkansas. He's obviously the best of the bunch, so it adds a new dimension to their offense because they have so many guys that they can use, and if they really want to, they can keep all of them fresh. Hunt obviously adds a gear that the other ones do not have, so I think they're really encouraged by what they saw, that they can could go to an SEC stadium and win, without pretty clearly their best player.
Yeah, it's a scary thought for Iowa State fans as they prepare for this game. I can promise you that. Well, let's move on to the Toledo quarterback, Philip Eli, former member of the Alabama football team. I know he's good. I guess my question, without seeing him too much, he didn't play in that game in Ames a year ago due to injury. How mobile is he? I mean, does Iowa State need to worry about him? Because they've had a hard time when quarterbacks scramble this year. It's been really that defense's Achilles heel. Do they have to worry about that?
He's not a scrambler, but he's an opportunist. If he has it, he'll take it. There was one play in particular last week against Arkansas when Arkansas pinned him and kind of ruined the play, but he was able to step up in the pocket and pick up a game of like 4 or 5 when he probably shouldn't have had anything. He's definitely not fast, but he can make a move that will get him a first down occasionally.
One big question all summer long for me about Toledo as I researched Iowa State's schedule was replacing the 5 starters on the offensive line. How would you – it's only been through one game, but I guess you saw like a quarter and a half that first game. How would you grade that group so far? I mean, has there been much of a drop-off?
I mean, it's definitely a different type of line. The line last year was small and technical. They were 5 graduate students, which is pretty rare. They were really smart. This one's a lot bigger and a lot different. The other line, I think, was probably a better pass blocking line, especially at the one where it is right now. But so far, they've done well. I mean, they didn't allow a sack last week. They had about 5 yards per play. They did have too many penalties. They ended up having, I believe, 40 yards in penalties in the first half, which is certainly too much. But after that, they really calmed down. 4 guys ended up making their first start on Saturday's game. One was a transfer from Florida State, center. So he had played. He's really not a true rookie. And the left tackle got 3 starts last year. But left guard, right tackle were making truly their first big, were playing their first big snap ever.
Nick Petrovic from the Toledo Blade joining us on the Grip Tight Foundation Repair Hotline. Nick, I'd like to ask you about another Toledo native, a senior cornerback who I think is back for his 5th year, Cheatham Norrills. What was the story with him? He missed last year kind of due to an undisclosed injury or illness?
Yeah, Cheatham had an illness. He got really sick. It was 4th of July weekend. He had what felt just like the flu. He had a headache, didn't feel good, and basically tried to wait it out, got some antibiotics, and just got progressively worse and worse and worse. Had a horrible headache, was almost could barely walk. Ended up being hospitalized for 10 days. They treated him for pneumonia. They treated him for a viral infection. They never even gave him an honest diagnosis. They don't know to this day what it was. He lost about 30 pounds and ended up having to miss the entire season. And there was a point, even this point last year, they weren't sure if he was ever going to play football again.
Wow, that's incredible.
That is an incredible story. Nick, who covers Nick Petrovic, I was going to just avoid your last name.
You've done it. You've done it now, man. You're there.
I got it now from the Toledo Blade joins us. I want to talk a little bit about Toledo's head football coach, Matt Campbell. I watched his press conference from earlier this week and was so impressed. I mean, he is cool as a cat. He seems like a real up-and-comer in the world of college football. So I guess my question to you would be, I mean, how much longer do you think he stays there?
It's really going to depend on if he finally clears the hurdle this year, I think. He has had his chances to move, and actually Urban Meyer said today that when he got hired at Ohio State, he tried to hire Campbell as his offensive coordinator. Campbell ended up turning him down, staying at Toledo, keeping the head job. I think if they have the type of year that they are expecting to have, and they go on, they win the MAC, they win 11 or so games, 11, 10 games. He's going to be pretty attractive to a lot of programs. And I think the mistake a lot of MAC coaches make, Daryl Hazel, Tim Beckman, they jump at the first allegedly power conference job that there is, and you get a really bad situation. I think Campbell, if they have a good year this year, is going to have the opportunity to be a little bit picky.
Yeah. No, that's a good. So, what type of job do you think he would? I don't know much about his background. Is he a Midwest guy? I mean, is that natural?
Well,
like a Big Ten?
He had is in Ohio. He was a Division III All-American at Mountain Union. Ended up getting a GA job at Mountain Union. Worked his way up to becoming the offensive coordinator. Then went to Bowling Green, and then Tim Beckman hired him when Beckman got hired at Toledo, and then he went offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, and then went back into the Illinois job, got a head coach. So he has coached in Ohio pretty much the entire time. He initially committed to Pitt out of high school, and he played there for a year. So he's really been in this quadrant of the country his whole life.
That's interesting. All right, well, let's get to the game itself here, Nick. How do you see this thing playing out? I mean, I think Iowa State is a much better team than it was a year ago, but I think Toledo is too. Of course, this is on the road. I expect it to be a nice little atmosphere there on Saturday night. I mean, I know you've looked at Iowa State. I saw you tweeting about it earlier. How do you see this playing out?
I think that it's really going to be dependent on what Iowa State can do in the early down, because they have not been good in that particular area. They're converting so few third downs at this point because they keep pinning themselves in the third and long. I think if they can pass early in the game, they're in a pretty good spot. If they let Toledo play the game that it wants, where it's stopping the run and running the ball, I think it could get ugly.
No, I agree with you. And then when I looked at that box score and saw that Toledo had given up like 414 yards or whatever it was to Arkansas, I mean, that's Iowa State's strength is the pass game, but they've really struggled when against Iowa in the second half on Saturday, they had no semblance of a running game at all. Iowa pinned its ears back and Iowa State had 66 yards of offense in that second half. So I really like that analysis. How much different is that defense, I guess, than a year ago? Because, I mean, Sam Richardson set a career high in passing yards. He set a school record in completions. And based off of that, Iowa State should be able to throw the ball fairly well against this team. But I'm curious how different Toledo is defensively now.
Yeah, they are much, much, much more solid than they were at that point. Toledo was really battered at that point last year. Norold obviously didn't play at all. The other number two cornerback named Cameron Cole tore his ACL in the first week, and he was out for the year. And then their third cornerback, his name Jordan Martin, had an ankle injury that really limited him. In that game, they started a kid named DeJuan Rogers. I believe that was his first start, and he started at nickelback. So the secondary in particular is much improved from what the version Iowa State saw last year. And probably on this entire team, the defensive line is the best position group. The defensive line between it has 20 varsity letters, so they can rotate all day long and really not miss a beat.
That's fantastic work. Thank you, Nick. We appreciate your time, and we'll be in touch, okay?
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Nick Petrovitz from the Toledo Blade. That's not good news for Iowa State.
No.
The best position group for Toledo is their defensive line. And that guy knew what he was talking about. I mean, he was being very specific.
Right. That was great. And you look at that box score, Chris, their cornerbacks can hit. The guys in the defensive backfield can hit.
They got some players.
I think their two leading tacklers were a cornerback and a safety, which can mean that guys are getting it through, obviously. But it also means they're making the tackles when they have the chance to. One of them was named Player of the Week in the conference. Mm-hmm. I think that was the kid that I asked him about, that Norrells.
Yeah.
He was named Player of the Week in the conference. And then another kid, the safety, was named the what was he? This was a big award he had for the week, too. So their defense can play.
I did see that Toledo lost Jordan Martin, one of their starting corners, to the season. Today, he tore his ACL. But, I mean, I just don't trust Iowa State's offensive line. I didn't before the year. I've seen two games. I still don't. And I know it's a MAC team, but they're a good MAC team. I mean, they proved it. They won at an SEC, good SEC program.
I think you nailed it, Chris. And one of the main things you nailed with the Iowa State game, besides the final score, was that offensive line play for Iowa State. Campos is the real deal. He can hold his own. That interior line is, first of all, there's no depth there.
Yeah. They get Daniel Burton back at least, but healthy is he? I mean,
but that's going to be their issue. And then that's where everything stems from, because Sam doesn't have the time to get the ball to the uber-talented receivers, and things fall apart.
It's very frustrating.
You have three and outs. It's when the ball stopped rolling. I mean, obviously halftime took the wind out of the sails, but you come out, you have the three and out, the line starts falling apart, the defense is able to rest, get geared up each time they come out.
Yeah.
It's trouble.